really tell right yet, but ooh. Good morning. Good deal. Good morning to Dispensational Bible Church. I hope the audio is good and all. We're in Natural Bridge Station, Virginia, at a campground. We came down to our grandson Jude's fourth birthday, and they just left a little while ago. It was exciting times just to see them. You probably hear some traffic in the background, people's moving around. Acorns are falling. My hit one on top of my head here shortly. But fire cracking, Sherry's saying. Sherry's eating some breakfast this morning. But I have yet to have mine, but I do have my coffee. But it's beautiful setting here, as many of you know, when you get out in nature and just relax. It has been very relaxing. Some prayer requests, praise items. Our dear sister in Christ, Betty Watson, had passed away about 3 o'clock this morning. She's with the Lord, and our brother Ray Watson, she will be missed. Just keep that in thought and prayer. Keep many of our prayer people on our prayer list. It's been on our prayer list for a while. Keep them in thought and prayer. As we continue to get older, our body tends to break down. Politics, if you want to go to politics, pray for our president and the things that's going on in the political realm. We are told to pray for them. So with that being said, let's go open up a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. Thank you for the time we've had with the saints that are had passed away, that we know that they're saved and sealed and sanctified, and with you, with them being with you today. And Lord, as we think about the ones that's on our hearts and minds, that we continue to lift them up in thought and prayer, we thank you for this book that we have in our possession for the English-speaking people and commonly known as the King James Bible. We thank you for that being preserved for us. We thank you for the saints that have continued to fight for this word and the people that will stand for truth. And as we continue our study in the book of Daniel, Lord, may we continue to glean something from it in a grace perspective, if not the law, the prophecy type of thing. So, Lord, as we continue to grow, let's grow in your nurture and admiration of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 72, and once again, I hope this is coming through okay. We get turning to Daniel chapter 12. We're just starting book Daniel chapter 12. This is the last chapter of the book of Daniel. So Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, it says, at that time, that's mid tribulation that we're talking about, shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, Michael in prophecy is Israel's angel, if you will, guardian angel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since that there was a nation even to that same time. Now, think about this for a minute. That time of trouble is that thing in Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, where Satan has come down and there will be a great wrath. He's cast out of the heavens. Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed it, and or cleansing it, and they fall to the earth, and there are going to be tough times on this earth. Not like you see today. It's going to be really, really, really tough times. It's going to be troubling times for this nation Israel. And this thing, this is that thing that Matthew 24 talks about, the great tribulation. And it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 and 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, starting with verse 4, says, and these are the words of the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For this saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. As ye know, and see whether a man doth travail with child. There's a question there. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all the faces are turned into paleness? He asks this. He says, what's the matter? Is a man having a child? And you know the answer to that is no. Then why is everybody hurting so bad? That's what Jeremiah is asking. And verse 7, alas, here's the answer. For that day is great, so that none is like it. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and Matthew 24, verse 21. It is even in the times of Jacob's trouble, but, underlined it, he shall be saved out of it. And we should never forget about this. He's going to be saved out of this. Israel's going to be saved out of this time. And there's that will be a time of trouble, a tremendous persecution for that nation, Israel. But God will save them out of that to go into the kingdom. You know, we talk about this a little bit about Matthew 24, Matthew 23, Matthew 24. And people talks about that's the catching away, where one is left behind and the other one's taken out of the way. Well, the one is taken out of there is going to wrath, is going to judgment. The one is left behind will go into the kingdom, much like what this is talking about. But being saved out of it in Daniel 12 is called, and he says in Daniel 12, verse 1b, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, thy people, who is thy people? Israel, okay? And they're going to be saved out of that, because we just found out that Satan has come to this earth. He's going to put great persecution on the nation Israel. He's going to try to stomp out every one of them. But she runs through the wilderness, just like God fed Israel in the wilderness. God's going to feed the little remnant in the wilderness. Now, notice the connection of the prophetic scripture between being saved and being delivered. Now, that's why in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias says in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 and following, he has raised up a horn of salvation to deliver us from the hand of thy enemies. Now, that's talking about Israel. He's talking about Jesus Christ coming and raising up a horn of salvation to deliver us, talking about Israel, out of the hand of the enemies. In prophecy, salvation is not just a spiritual salvation from hell as we think of it about today. There's different types of salvation. But salvation for Israel is a salvation from that physical distress and discomfort and torture that's going to be poured out on them in the tribulation period, being delivered into that kingdom. That's why we talk about, we're going to get into this a little bit, about Paul talks about working out their salvation with much fear and trembling. That's not that you're going to die and go to hell salvation. It's working out your deliverance from this daily thing that you go through in the flesh, if you will. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, Peter was talking about him getting saved. Peter was a saved man, okay? Getting saved. He was already saved. He had the remission of sins. He's talking about a physical salvation and getting into that kingdom program. That's delivering him out of this evil world, if you will. It's important to notice in the study of prophecy that salvation has that connection, if you will. The salvation package for Israel in a prophetic program is different than you and I have, if you think about it today. You need to remember that and recognize that, but we're still being saved. Now, I believe that the Old Testament saints was saved. Once they believed God, they were saved, and they worked out their tremblings and salvation through the things. That's why there was a physical people, much like you and I are today. Now, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1b. Now, I think it was about 45 degrees this morning or something? Yeah. So we got a little fire going. My hand's getting cold, so if my nose is starting turning red, I I had to stop. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 1b says, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now Malachi chapter 3, and Malachi chapter 4 says this, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another," this is the tribulation passage, "and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I will make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that served God and him that serveth him not." Malachi chapter 4, verse 1a says, "For behold, that the day cometh." There is a second coming of Jesus Christ in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Moses and Elijah in chapter 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5. Tribulation, second coming, a book of remembrance is where he keeps his people. And God is going to deliver that believing remnant of Israel. Now, so if you think about what Malachi just said, they're going to be able to discern who is with God and who is not with God. And I think you can believe that today. I believe you can discern who's in the body of Christ and not in the body of Christ. Not by head knowledge, but the heart knowledge. But, you know, I always tell people all the time, I can't judge your soul. That's God's business. But you can ask people, you can ask certain questions and see how they're saved and all that. Because if you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried and rose again today, he places you in a body. Okay? And he seals you and saves you. Now, Zechariah chapter, that's what you need to do to be saved today from hell, from eternal damnation, from Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. "And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south." He is going to come and deliver them. That's what this is about. He's coming there. "And the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and shall devour and to subdue and sling stones, and they shall drink and make noise as though through wine. And they shall be filled with like bowels and the corner of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in the day as a flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon the land," his land. The point here is he's going to come and get his jewels and make a crown and deliver his people. And when he does this, he will be seen over them, flying over them and blowing a trumpet. So he's coming down. And he is to do with the regathering. This has to do with the regathering of Israel and delivering the people. And gathering his jewels has to do with regathering the nation together and bringing the nation of Israel, the believers, the true believers, together in the land and then until this kingdom. You know, we was at Brother Morris's last week, and we was talking, and afterwards we left, and he goes, "You ever think about the lost sheep, the house of Israel?" And I said, "Well, you know, when I think about that, the first thing I think about, okay, if he come to for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then they must be saved sheep of Israel." So that never did bother me, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel is actually the ones that was saved, okay? But he was explaining to me about a sheep. He raised sheep in the past. He said if they go out in the pasture land and that little lamb falls asleep and the other ones leave and he gets up, he goes back and forth. Okay? Like he can't find, he's looking for his flock. He's looking for his mom and dad and all that stuff. It's not that he's lost eternal damnation, but he's lost in the direction. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came for Israel in that sense. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 5 says, as the birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. He's going to fly over it and defend it. And he will be the prince and pair, you know, of the air. He was coming. And, you know, Brother Jordan in his Grace School of Bible, he's talking about Star Wars and stuff. You ain't seen nothing yet. The Lord Jesus Christ defends this and takes care of this. When he comes out of the heavens, it's going to be a war that unlike you ever seen before. And he goes flying over it and defends it. And he will involve in the battles and fights. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over it, he will preserve it. So he's going to preserve the land. He's going to preserve the people. Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, see ye, when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. He will blow that trumpet and regather the nation back together. And the ensign is in 18 verse 3 is the sign of the Son of Man in Matthew chapter 24, which I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. So the point is he's going to be regathering that nation together. Not like the United Nations. You know, people talk about 1948, Israel became a nation, that type of thing. It was fulfilling prophecy. No. Jesus Christ comes back and gathers the tribes together, and that's his nation, that's his son. And he's going to do it with the sound of a trumpet and the connection of the Son of Man and his coming, his glory. So that hasn't taken place yet. So when you think about the tribulation, he comes down, that's when it's coming back. Isaiah chapter 27, Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12. Isaiah 27:12, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river to the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. Of who? Israel. Okay? And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which will be ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. None of that's taken place yet. Okay? He's going to gather his people, Israel. When this time period comes about, we're out of here. The body of Christ is not here on this earth. And the whole issue about delivering Israel is in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Shall be delivered every one that shall be found written in the book. And he's talking about the gathering, once again, the group of people out of the nations into that kingdom. That's what Daniel's at the end of 70th years. He's looking towards that time, and he's telling this remnant that's going to go through that what to look for. And you know what? They're going to understand that. There are going to be some Bible believers that's going to believe the Word of God. They're going to have the Word of God. They're going to look at the times and discern the times. Just like you and I can do today. When you understand where you're at in the body of Christ, where you're at in God's Word, Romans through Philemon, you can open up the book. You can understand why we are in the times that we are and what we expect God to do and what God expects us to do. And, you know, I think about that quite often, that people just totally ignore Paul's epistles during this time. They jump from when the Lord was here and jump straight over in the tribulation period where we're at right now. I see things on Facebook. I see things, emails, all the time saying we're in the tribulation period. God says about this, the moon's this, and the sun's this, and, you know, and people's this way. We're in the times of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus Christ is not on this earth. The only way he's on this earth is through us, and we're supposed to be light. But he is right now, he is in royal exile. He's up there with the Father on the right hand waiting for this time to come back. And when he does come back, he comes to the clouds, okay? And he himself descends, and he takes his body out. Okay, and that leaves the tribulation period and stuff can't come down here. That's why a lot of people don't believe in the pre-trib, because, oh, I don't believe it. Well, Paul talks about that. Okay, that's where you find this time period. And it's going to be a glorious day, and that's our hope, by the way. You know, that's our hope. He's going to take us out of here, and we won't have to suffer death in a way that normal people suffers death. Now, I should say we're all going to die. It's appointed for man to die once. You're going to die. But even if the Lord takes us out of here right now, this body's going to die. Okay? And he gives us a new body. Now, that's the issue of what Daniel chapter 12 is talking about. Once again, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now that verse is used by many people to reference that the Old Testament saints are being resurrected, or the tribulation saints being resurrected. Many may sleep in the dust. But if that is the reference to the resurrection of the either Old Testament saints or the tribulation saints, it will match John 5. Be turned to John 5, verse 28. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and that will compare to some to the everlasting life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, that compares the one to the shame and everlasting. So they're going to get resurrected. Now the problem is that the resurrecting is resurrected everlasting life is generally said to be the beginning of the millennium period. And the resurrection of the eternal damnation is said to be the end of the millennium in Revelation chapter 20. But in Revelation chapter 20, you have a resurrection at the beginning, and then 1,000 years separates it, and then there's a resurrection at the end. And the resurrection at the beginning is said to be the second death, and it won't hurt those people. They are saved people. But the second death does get those people who are resurrected at the millennium kingdom. I know I'm saying a lot of words here. But so the resurrection into life and the resurrection into damnation are separated by 1,000 years. There's a problem in that verse in the Daniel, because it doesn't seem to be a separation there. So if you reference that to the Old Testament resurrection, and it would be those kind of verses, but you know, you got to think about this a minute. There's three kinds of resurrections. One, spiritual resurrection. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He has raised us together with Christ and made us alive with him. Okay? That's spiritually. You're already there. Positionally, you're already made to sit in heavenly places. In fact, you can't ask for any more spiritual blessings that God already gave you. He already gave you all of them. Now, how do you know what he's given you? You look under a rock. No, you get a phone call. No, it's in the book. Yeah, read the book, read the Bible, get in the Word. Okay, then you have a physical resurrection of the body, like the passage in John 5. Then there's a national resurrection, and that's the resurrection of a nation Israel from the graveyard of the nations. He's going to lift everybody up. That's why I said, you know, those Old Testament saints over here, if they died, okay, and they believed God, they're saved. They're going to get resurrected. And the resurrection is referred to Ezekiel 37 in the valley of dry bones. And the issue that is in Ezekiel 37 is the same as Daniel chapter 12 that we're talking about, the regathering of the nations. If you ever read that Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones, when he resurrects them, they become the whole army of Israel, the whole house of Israel. So they're going to come up, and they're going to put flesh on them. Hello, good morning. Anyway. Is that time to end? Is that what it is? Creation is hearing us today. But in Ezekiel 37, we'll wait just a second. Ezekiel 37, he goes out into the valley of full of bones, and God causes the bones to have flesh to go back on them. He breathes into them, and they live. You know, they live, and they're on this earth. So we're talking about when Jesus Christ comes back to fight with, you know, the saints and stuff, he's got an army here. You know, that should be exciting to the earthlings, if you will, that he has his own people already ready, preserved. You know, it's much like, you think about this a minute. When Joshua goes into the promised land, okay, there's 12 tribes that's going into the promised land before, when he crosses the Jordan River. They also crossed the river on dry bed, okay? Their strategic satanic strongholds in the promised land. And all them Hittites and stuff. There's some really, really, really bad ones. And so God told Joshua to go in and destroy them. Okay, you have to destroy them. Well, they started and then they decided that they wanted some things, and next thing you know is it caused problems and they became apostated, and that's why they're in the situation they're in now. But those holds, Satan had holds in here. So this is exciting to know that Jesus Christ is going to, God Almighty is going to breathe on a set of bones, and they're going to come up as a whole army of Israel. I don't know if you ever thought about that. I have. But anyway, verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11. Look at this. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of who? Israel. That's what I'm just explaining to you. Behold, thou say, O bones, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We were cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, all my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. That's a resurrection of the nation. And the graves and the passage are identified as the nations of the world. Verse 21. And saith unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. He says that in one place, I will bring you out of the grave and put you back in that land. That's the nation Israel. Next time he says, I will bring you out of the nations from among the heathen where you have gone and put you in your land. So the grave is a figure that represents the heathen, And the heathen and the graves are the comparison here. So if you think about that, if nation Israel is around a bunch of heathen, they're a bunch of dead people. They're nothing to him. So he's going to take them out of that, and Israel scattered and buried among the graveyard of the nations, and God is going to restore Israel from the dust, from the graves of the nation. Makes sense, don't it? Now, we'll continue this a little more. If you go to Isaiah 26, 16, through Isaiah 27, verse 6, you will see that same kind of passage. Romans 11, 15 says, what shall the receiving of them be but life from death? So this is a reference of a national resurrection and a restoration of the nation Israel at the end of the tribulation period. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 for a second. Now, when you look at the shame and everlasting content, you think about some of the nation Israel that returns back to the land of tribulation aren't saved. Some of them return to the land. They will follow the Antichrist. We know when after 1,000 years is taking place, Satan is let loose. And when he's let loose, some of the nations will follow him. But that saved remnant will not follow him. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and contempt. In other words, he will regather the nation back into the land, the nation Israel, and in that time of trouble, they will be purged and purified. And those will be the children of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And will he will be cast out. He'll cast out the unbelievers, and the chaff shall burn up the wheat and garner. Just like when John the Baptist talked about the Jesus Christ, the fans in hand, he picks the wheat up, the chaff falls, the good stuff goes in the garner. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that be wise are those people back in Daniel chapter 11, and they are the like of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. It says they are the people who knows the times. That's what we're talking about. You've got to understand the times and know the times and the seasons, what's going on, and they understand what God is doing because he's given them information from the book in the light of the details of the passage. And people, because they will know and they will shine like light. They shine in the kingdom of the fathers. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43, says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and they shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of the Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're going to end right there, and next time in lesson 73, we'll pick up in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, in this sense of what God is doing with the saints that Daniel was talking to and the times. But there's something I want to share with you right quick, and I keep saying this, that if you know who you are in Christ, you have a book and you can understand what God is doing, okay? And that's very, very important, because many of us are looking for guidance. We're looking for direction, and we grasp at everything. And, you know, people want to think about science. Science is good. But there's a verse that Paul talks about, talk about falsely science. And all that stuff. So you really need to concern yourself with who you are in Christ Jesus today. Yet you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. And you trust that and that alone, and you're saved. Then you get in the book and start studying it and understand some things. So we do live in an exciting times, even though It seems like the world's going around. Once again, we came to the campground to spend time with her grandson and granddaughter, and it's been a very pleasant time, hasn't it, Lori? You know, got us campground going. You know, we haven't even thought about leaving this place. We brought everything with us and all, and it's just a pleasant experience. Now, Lori and Sherry, you know, they live in the campground industry, so they're like, we do this all the time, but they really don't get a chance to just relax. So this is a very unique setting to be, and many of you do camp, many of you do get out and just let the world just go. But with that being said, when you drive out of this place, the world's going to hit you like a sledgehammer. So let's fill our minds with some positive things from the Word of God that knows how we can answer things, how we discern things, and all. And that's what Daniel's doing here. Daniel's writing to an age way past, future from where we're at. So if they have books to understand the times they're going through, I keep saying this, you have books that you can go through. Once again, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our website is www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. We'd like for you to hear from you. You can email us. You can call us. You can text me. I love to hear how you're doing. If you like to donate, there's a donate button there to the ministry. We thank you for the ones that's doing that. This message will be on YouTube when I get home sometime tomorrow. And also keep in mind that we're making a flyer up for the Southeast Ohio area for a Grace Church there. We about got it done. I'll post it on the site. And if you know any friends or family that's in the within a 40-mile radius of Cambridge, Ohio, we'd love to hear from them, from you. And keep the saints that in Canton area in thought and prayer also. Until next time, grace and peace.